Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime! I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, I was sending it for someone else. Why do people always seem to just be
Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Live from the Fan Run Radio Studios, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulkerson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys. Tucker, if you're wondering who turned your headphone volume up, that was me.
The good thing is my actual headphones have a volume dial.
So you're able to catch
it
quick.
I always keep it at the lowest point, so actually you did not blow my ears out. So
Folky blinded his own eardrums before we came on.
He foiled the original plan because when I was done messing with the dial,
right?
Well, you had lamented me for messing with your dial accidentally.
My dial.
And I put it at the lowest point possible, so then you wouldn't be able to hear.
Gotcha. And then he
started freaking out.
Right. I did. That's why we were giggling.
Right. His would have probably got me better.
Yep.
See, I didn't know that you had the volume control mode. That's my bad. Ruined the prank.
I thought he was going to burst your eardrum.
I ruined the prank.
The Boy Scout motto, always be prepared. I wasn't in the Boy Scouts. I just know that the motto.
You just happen to always have a fancy pair instead of always be prepared.
Right.
Yeah, your Gatorade still gets stolen about every week.
Well, I don't have those with me today, so always prepared.
Your undisclosed liquid. We don't want to give any shout-outs.
Yeah, sorry.
Label-less water.
Sorry to that local business, Gatorade.
Good work. I'm glad. Fellas, Masters in full swing.
Love it.
I mean, that's really all that's going on. Masters. We had a couple of Tennessee couple of things that happened with Tennessee. WrestleMania is this weekend. I don't know if anybody's excited about that. I'm not a big wrestling guy, but we might talk about that a little bit.
No.
Perhaps Trevor Bauer's in trouble again. There's some more news out of the Tiger Woods crash site talk about. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be rolling out the police reports in the coming months. More and more information will be coming out. You got to pay attention, not know how much to trust, because TMZ will probably be the main source of all of this.
Very true.
So you got to
good with that.
You got to look at your sources and make sure you're kind of fact checking yourself. But more and more stuff will be coming out of there. The Yankees lost today. If we want to start in the world of baseball, or at least are losing right now, I'm assuming they're going to lose. Folky was talking about it before Alex showed up. Yankees down.
Folky did preface when he said it to, "We have to be nice to Alex today."
I did say that.
I think he feels sorry. It's not out of a place of anger that he was talking about it. I think he was just letting everyone know you might be a little down in the dumps.
The Yankees fall to 3-4, lose 10-5 today, giving up 13 hits and having one error in the ballgame.
That is tough.
Yep.
Corey Kluber.
Plenty of games left.
Was it Corey Kluber who's on the mound? Is that C. Kluber stands for?
Yep.
Sweet. He is 0-1 officially with a 5.68.
Yeah, he only lasted 2 1/3 today.
Ooh. How many did he give up?
3 on 5 hits. He had 5 runs given up. The error didn't help him out. By Gleyber Torres.
Reds play the D-backs
Gleyber
today?
Can't play defense. Oh, I'm sorry. It was DJ today. My bad. DJ was playing out of position. He's excused.
Oh, he's allowed because he was not in his actual position?
Yeah, he's playing third. Okay. He's a second baseman. He's playing third base today.
And he does absolutely just bat out of his mind. So you can kind of forgive a little fielding error.
Yeah, one of the few guys who can bat out of their mind on this team.
He's continued that this year, right?
Yeah.
He's still just on an absolute tear.
Not on a tear, but... He's at least hitting consistently, which Can't say for the rest of the lineup.
He's pretty good today. 2 for 4, 2 runs, RBI.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they stink right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, baseball, you don't really have to start out white hot, you know?
Well, that was a topic of debate on during the Drive's Hot Take Cold Take. They were talking about the Braves' slow start, and I believe it was Logan Quinton who came on the Blitz today and was like, come on, guys, pace yourselves. Former, I think he still contributes, here. But a former Blitz guy and former overtime guy
overtime
as well.
Constantly, yes. That was my first baseball season here. Logan came on a lot.
Okay, fair enough. But he's still a contributor on the website, but came on apparently on the Blitz this morning, was talking about the Braves and saying you can kind of – obviously, 162 games is a lot of games. You want to win as many as possible, but you can kind of pump the brakes on all of these high expectations and also very, very seemingly jumping to conclusions.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So kind of what you were saying of starting white hot or versus the other way.
Yeah, I mean, just as easy as the Reds have won – I mean, not really easy. That's not the right word. But just how the Reds have won 5 games, you know, in the first 6, we could easily lose the next 5. Like,
you've won 5 in a row, though.
Lost
the first one 11-6, then go on a 5-game win streak, scoring as many as 14 and only as low as 5.
I don't really, Folky, you're a little better baseball brain than I am. Where's this coming from? Where are these bats coming from? Like, we had the worst offense in the league last year, and it's not a ton different.
And also, spring training. Looking at the spring training schedule, I know it's kind of preseason, and you don't try your hardest, and you're not getting all your starters in there. And maybe I just don't know a lot about spring training, but y'all didn't look like you had a good spring training. 1, 2, 3, 4, only 5 wins and 1 tie, and everything else was a loss in spring training. Like, again, I don't know a lot about baseball and how preseason works and reflects on the actual team. Bless you, Alex. I don't know how well it reflects on the actual team, but from jump baseball brain, I see that. I would assume if I just looked at all of the good team schedules, I would assume if I was just looking at only spring training schedules, I would assume the Reds weren't playing very well.
Yeah, it's kind of like spring training or preseason for any other sport.
Yeah, I mean, they go about as hard. They go, I would say, less hard than the NFL preseason.
It's mainly about figuring out who's going to play what position.
Yeah,
for us this year, it was figuring out shortstop.
But baseball is also very confusing with the preseason for me because basketball and football, you kind of already know your stars. And preseason basketball and baseball, you're not really putting those guys out there. It's more guys competing for contracts. And baseball, I'm sure there's that because there's so many farm teams and stuff and so many guys.
Yeah.
But at the same point, there's so many guys in your clubhouse. You got to work out the kinks. You're still putting guys out there who could start for you later in the year in spring training. Am I wrong with that? Or I feel like there's more, not necessarily stars, but because there's more players on the field at a given time and stuff like that, there's more people who you're going to use a lot more in baseball spring training versus other sports.
Yeah, like you got to get guys in rhythm. Like
exactly.
You got to see pitches.
But that's
you can't just go in cold turkey.
And so that's what I mean, is having a bad spring training, I feel like, again, I know it's not the whole team, but you would normally think it would translate to a worse record. But 5-1, number one in the NL Central, I believe, number one in the league or at least close to it.
Guys could have won yesterday to pass us.
If not, we're
checked.
Tied.
It just depends on how many games behind and all of that stuff. But, I mean, 5-1 with a game tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm. 940. I guess we're playing
West
in Arizona.
Coast,
yeah, that kind of stinks. But I'm actually going to get to watch that.
You can have the pools
game,
open?
Which is pretty cool.
Do you think they have the pools open in Arizona this year?
Probably not, just because of COVID, I would say. That seems like
for
so.
Now.
That,
there's no oxygen.
Yeah,
it's a respiratory disease. There's no oxygen in water.
Okay. You're going to spend the whole time in the underwater, Will? Is there something
you're
not telling us?
That would be
that
pretty
you can
sick.
Breathe underwater?
That would be pretty sick if I had gills. Will's, Will's the gills? That would be a pretty good nickname if I was a fish. But
you could pass as a merman.
I could.
You got the long hair now, too, so that definitely helps your case.
Yeah, and it would explain why I'm so skinny. You've never seen a fish that's like real fat.
Whales.
Good point by you.
Big fellas.
Carps.
Yeah.
No,
carps,
there's
they,
are a lot of fat.
Carps
fish.
Are just fat.
Yeah,
that's
I mean
like
they are bottom feeders.
That's
they just
they
eat
do.
Poop. Like
it's
they
just,
literally just eat poop.
They're just fat.
But I don't even remember where I was going with my
pool,
statement.
COVID.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You remember MTV Cribs? Homies would put oxygen tanks in the bottom of the thing. If you just put oxygen tanks at the bottom, let them go down and put it in their
that
mouth.
Would be pretty cool.
You could just sit down there and watch the game from underwater.
That would be pretty cool. Make the pool like clear.
That's what I'm saying, man. Well, what water is already pretty transparent.
What effect would having your? I mean, no, like the wall.
Oh, okay, yeah,
like,
glass.
You
yeah,
know, you can't just stare at a concrete wall. Yeah, but
unless they had a cool design on it.
Yeah, but I'm excited about this team. Like really, really bad. This is the most confident I've felt in the Reds team probably ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 6 games, but like just with the way we've actually been able to actually hit the ball, and our defense has been really well. The young guys, we're showing that we actually have some depth. Like guys who weren't expected to be playing at all coming in and absolutely smacking. It's exciting. Exciting things are happening in Cincinnati.
Oh yeah,
I'm excited about it. A lot to be excited about.
Course.
Didn't the Cincinnati Zoo had some monkeys get out this today?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
So
they
exciting did. Things are happening in Cincinnati. People are getting attacked by monkeys.
Not exactly like the good kind of exciting I was alluding to.
I believe there's five of them.
I saw
five.
Yeah,
five monkeys can do some damage.
I saw a tweet and it was like a news report and it was like monkeys on the loose in Cincinnati. Stay clear. And then there was a Facebook post as the next like screenshot that just said, "My dumb blank." I don't know if I can say that on air because it's technically a combined word and you're not. It gets blurred
just,
lines.
You know, try to go through it. You know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, you doing that ruined it. I don't even know what I was talking about anymore.
Dumb blank got attacked by monkeys, maybe?
No.
Is that where you were going next?
Oh, he was like, my dumb butt tried to catch a monkey. What was I thinking? And he had bite marks all over him.
Whoa.
I mean, why?
Don't catch the monkey. Monkeys don't want to be caught.
I got to look at this.
No. For a little bit.
I think it was the Cincinnati Zoo.
You don't feel bad for the guy that tries to catch a wild, loose monkey.
No. I feel bad that he got injured. Now that he's okay,
idiot.
We can say, what were you thinking?
What, like,
I mean, if you get killed by a monkey from a zoo, like those are the weakest monkeys. They're not even wild monkeys.
What
they're
kind of monkey.
They're
different
captives.
They're
captive. Most animals go to zoos when they're injured to be captivated because they can't survive in the wild.
It appears they are not from the Cincinnati Zoo. They are from a private collection.
Some guys in
Ohio.
Some random
That's like
guys.
A tiger.
Monkeys. It's better that it's monkeys than a tiger, though. But monkeys do go for the face.
What would
That's
be the worst?
Problem.
What would be
That's
the worst animal to get loose?
Gorilla, probably gorilla. Gorillas are unhumanly strong, and they got thumbs. That's a big deal.
They have thumbs.
Thumbs work pretty good.
But
in
gorillas
the wild.
Are really lazy.
Not if you make them mad.
Fair.
But I
just don't know if they would have the effort to even escape in the first place. Like, dogs, when they see a cracked door, they're sprinting for the cracked door. I don't know if a gorilla sees a cracked door, he's sprinting at the cracked door.
Gorillas are smart. You know, they see a cracked door and they think, oh, I can actually see what's going on out here.
It's a good point.
And they go check it out, and then they realize, oh, I can get to these people that poke at, you know, point and laugh at me all day or stare at me. And then they rip 40 people in half.
This just sounds
the
like the plot
out.
Of Zookeeper.
Zookeeper?
The Kevin James film?
Is that what happens? The monkey?
Well, he doesn't kill anybody, but Kevin James breaks out a gorilla that can talk.
Oh.
And then they go to TGI Fridays, and the gorilla holds a bunch of ladies on his arms.
So exactly the same of what I just said.
Yeah, just no death.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm seeing this picture now. This guy has scratches on his neck and cheek.
They go for the face.
They go for the face. They know what's up. They know where it hurts.
They see us, and they're like, you're kind of like us. So when we fight, we go for the eyes, and that's what they do. Definitely not a good one. No matter how big the monkey, they can climb you. It don't matter.
I mean,
how little.
What was he thinking? Best case scenario.
You get a pet monkey. That's pretty
cool. No, that
best case scenario,
you tackle it. And then what?
And then
you get a pet
you.
Monkey.
No. Yeah. Best case scenario, you catch the monkey, and then they go, hey, give us that monkey back. And you go, okay.
No, okay, if we're going best case scenario.
You're
going
to keep unregistered monkey?
No. I'm just saying best case scenario.
Okay.
The technical best case scenario, dude gets a pet monkey for the rest of his life that wears a diaper and sits on his shoulder. That is the best case scenario. The most positive scenario
that's not happening.
But you said best case scenario. Worst case scenario, monkey killed the dude. We're somewhere in the middle.
He did it. You know what?
But the phrase best case scenario means best case scenario.
The best that can possibly happen.
Yeah, that would
just,
not possibly
That's
happen.
Not best case scenario.
Yes, it
No,
is.
Best case scenario is the best thing that can possibly happen. You can get semantic-y. You got to say
okay,
best realistic scenario.
Look at it in this frame here, okay?
Do I need to look
I
up
could,
the definition?
I could run out of this station right now and run and lay down in the road. Worst case scenario, I get hit by a car. But in Will's frame, we'll do the best case. Best case scenario, Superman swoops down, picks me up, flies me to Krypton, and gives me $1 billion.
That could happen. That would be best case scenario by Will's logic.
Neat.
Worst case scenario, I could just get you fired off my show. So
right, okay, sure, do that.
No, I kid. Best case scenario definition. I swear I'm right.
I don't think it's just the best. Like
it has to be.
It's not the most.
Also, you are going so like you are. I mean, logical fallacy central over there with straw man arguments. Yes, go ahead and make a hasty generalization over my point of saying that this dude got a pet monkey who wears a diaper and sits on his shoulder, and compare that
to
Superman coming down and giving you $1 billion. What is more likely? Right? What is more likely right now to happen? And be honest with me. Do not get Folky. I can turn your mic off because I can see the look on your face. You're gonna say. Superman before I even say anything. You're just going to say Superman. What's a better scenario and what's a more realistic scenario? dude getting a pet monkey that wears a diaper and climbs on his shoulder that he calls Marcel, or
okay,
Superman
Ross.
Saving him?
All right, Ross.
I'd have to go with Superman.
Superman seems
Marcel!
A little more realistic.
Marcel! Don't you put that song on, Marcel!
Wow. Favorite reality show, Friends. That's mine. That one's mine.
Yeah.
Big fan of that one.
Best case scenario means the best outcome. This cliche refers to an outcome that people are most hoping for. It can be described as the outcome in a short-term or long-term event. Next definition says the best possible outcome. So I guess there are two definitions, but the 1A is...
The one you choose,
Yeah,
okay.
Just happens to be the 1A.
There's two, and one of them you're right, and in one of them I'm right. I choose to believe... The one that
I'm right
is the right one.
Well, they normally list the most used ones as first to last. So most used is just best case scenario,
possible
case scenario.
Or they went like super basic actual answer, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. How long are we going to argue about definitions?
A few more minutes.
A few more? Okay.
Yeah. I was working out the other day.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about definitions. So I was trying to... I got to get a vaccine, and I don't want to be judged when I lift up my shirt. Like that would be like getting a flu
that's
shot.
That's why you're going to the gym.
But getting a flu
that's
shot.
That's the whole reason.
Yeah, it is. Getting a flu shot. My doctor would always be like, "Oh, you have such little arms, but great definition." And
come on,
it's just like, "Come on, you don't gotta say that. Just stick me with the needle and get on. Controlled stab me and then move on.
Don't
treat
comment.
Me like a human Capri Sun and then get out of my way. You know what I'm saying?
Comment on my figure, doc. All right, I know what I'm working with here. I look at it more
and
than
they
you
never
do.
Give you compliments.
No,
it's always
it's
insults.
Never. It's
always backhanded medically fact." Insults. Like, it's
once
always
you,
like that.
Once you get over the age of, like, four, when they're like, ho, look at that big man over here, big strong man. You come in, like, the next year, he's like, all right, so listen, kid, your knees are broke. You're just awful.
My doctor tells
better.
Me to stay away from the wind.
Stay away.
He's like, you need to eat more. Always talking about how underweight I am. And he's
so he said, he calls you that skinny that you'll flutter
I don't think he's serious,
like
but he is
paper.
A medical professional, so you believe every word they say.
Yeah, doctors are generally... pretty judgmental in my
opinion. I had to tell you about my smoking habits and all of those things that you do not need to know to really medically treat me,
you
don't need to insult me.
You know the dark secrets, doc. you need to keep that to yourself.
I think we need to keep an eye on doctors and therapists.
Yeah.
Because they have all of our, they know everything. Like if you think,
okay.
If you're scared of the government knowing everything, doctors and therapists, we pay them to know everything.
Hold on. Here's a little thing about small city living for you. There's one in my city. There's one doctor. So I've thought about, this guy knows
everything
about everyone in my hometown.
Well, Alex Olive of The Drive was telling, or formerly of The Drive now at, Star 102.1, maybe?
Yes.
I'm not usually giving shout-outs to competitors, but I like Alex Olive, so I'll go listen wherever Alex is at and figure out where he's at. I believe it's Star 102.1. Love Alex, so I'll give him a shout-out even though it's a competitor.
Right.
Anyways, he was telling about he works at a pharmacy, and one of his favorite things is to always have people who, A, don't recognize him because they're wearing a mask now and he's older, but people he used to know coming through or people he knows coming through and not recognizing him. And him giving erectile dysfunction pills to a guy who's mean to him and stuff like that. You got to keep an eye out on doctors and therapists.
They know
everything.
They know the dirt on everybody.
What's there to know in such a small city?
God, I can only imagine. I can only imagine what some of those people are going to see the doc for.
I guarantee you he gives
out
a lot.
I'm not one to assume. There's got to be some horror stories floating around there somewhere. Not that I want to know. That's his burden to carry. He can think about that when he goes to bed. I sleep fine.
I'm sure he sees a lot of vaccine victims.
Probably.
Do you think when he walks the street? Not.
No, he has to. No one's walking the strip downtown. let's make that clear. But I get what you're saying. When he sees people in public, we drive cars everywhere.
Walking the strip downtown in Granger County is the equivalent to the Simpsons gif of the old man walking in the bar and turning around and walking back out the bar.
It's not the fact that the city's so small. It's just you would just be walking. I mean, I guess you could just walk on the sidewalk, but why wouldn't you just drive, you know? Like, if you have a car, and he's a doctor, so he's probably driving. But I would assume, everyone he looks at, hey,
he's
how
got
you
the
doing?
Nicest stallions.
And everybody knows everybody's name. So they're like, hey, doc, how you doing? And he's like, oh, yep, how you doing? Yeah, you're not doing good, brother. It's okay. I wouldn't be able to help myself.
I'm not thinking publicly, but in the back of his mind, he's thinking, wonder how he's doing with that issue. Wonder how she's doing.
It's like, hey, buddy, you need to come into my office.
Bro, he would kill at a speed dating event. Because he wouldn't even have to talk about himself at all. He would just, every time a new girl sits down, he would just be like, hey, you know Kyle over there? Chlamydia. He could just end everyone's career.
Whoa,
it's a speed dating. It's speed dating.
Whoa.
They're speed dating. He's
so
got to.
He's
got
to sabotage.
Yes.
Every other
is,
man
is
in the room.
The doc, is the doc married? You know?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Okay. Then,
yeah.
Like
he
has
to have like the most, like the best house on Halloween. Like he was one of those guys. That, like,
not on any other days.
It out.
Oh yeah. He
house sucks
he gave
on every day other than October 31st.
Like, he was a fan favorite in the city.
Oh, I thought you meant like. Lights and everything.
Oh, yeah, the way that too. Okay. Fog machine, like, oh. Yeah.
The way you
just
said
on
it,
Halloween, like, what do you do it for Christmas too?
I guess, yeah. I don't really.
He's not a big religious person.
Used to be a big thing in my, like, on Halloween, we would drive around and go look at everybody's houses, but he always had the best one.
Yeah, you see, in normal cities, it's on Christmas, people do that.
Right, okay, but do they give out candy on Christmas?
In normal
no,
cities,
no.
Like, the phrase taking
no,
candy
don't.
From a baby comes from being in a normal city on Halloween and someone taking the candy from you as a baby.
Right.
That's what happens on Halloween in a normal city.
Oh, okay.
But in the suburbs, you just get to go knocking door to door. And then in Granger County, you have to drive.
You got
to
drive all over the county, man.
Imagine driving to trick or treat.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me. We'll be right back.
That sucks.
Guys, golf, according to Wired.com UK, is facing an existential crisis, obviously with the Masters in full swing, pun intended on that one, boys. Golf is apparently facing an existential crisis. I mean, I was interested when I clicked on this read. I haven't read it
I've
yet.
I've read the article.
Yeah, is it stupid?
It's not stupid. I wouldn't call it stupid. I mean, I get where it's coming from.
That normally translates to it's stupid.
No. I wouldn't call it an existential crisis, though. I mean, it really only affects the top 1% of golfers. I guess as a pro sport, sure, it could do that. You know, it could have it be having an existential crisis. But golf's pretty healthy right now as a sport, I would think. I mean, also that article talks about how like scores have absolutely bottomed out because guys are just hitting longer. That was the whole, you know, that was the main point of the article was just the fact that guys are absolutely slamming drives like 350 now, like it's nothing. Guys like DeChambeau. But, I mean, if you look, obviously that's not the recipe. I mean,
yeah.
DeChambeau's having a pretty rough go of it. I mean, he played all right today.
He climbed back in it, I thought. I mean,
where's he at? Like, he's got the
did he make
like,
the cut?
I thought he was minus one.
He's over the
after
cut.
Today.
I think he's like one under, two under, something
yeah,
like that.
I mean,
that.
I heard.
But
I wasn't paying attention, but I heard that he made a little bit of a comeback to
did,
get
yeah.
in that field to where. With his distance, his power, he could maybe make something of it.
Sure. I mean, yeah, if anybody can actually climb the leaderboard, it's him because he can absolutely just bomb drives down the fairway and cut shots out of his game. It's just I don't think it's to a point where it's damaging on the game. I mean,
it's like the three-point shot in the NBA with
yeah,
Stephen Curry
exactly.
and guys like that.
Yeah, this existential yes.
crisis could be the definition of it, but it has a negative
change.
Connotation attached to
yeah.
it. It's just change, and people don't like change. We all know that. Humans are creatures of habit.
Yeah, the article talks about how like golf courses have just like swelled in size. Like courses used to be like 4,300 yards, and that was like a professional distance course, and now they're ballooned up to like 66 or something like that, 6,600 yards, which is pretty long course.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, this article just starts off with just talking about how everyone was just going crazy about the 16th tee shot for Bryson DeChambeau earlier this year. Talking about apparently the ball went all the way over the trees, and I mean again I'm not a golf guy, but I guess
does
that could be orgasmic.
Did he
120 miles per hour.
Okay.
16th hole he christened Hell's Bells is just under 500 yards long and is designed to be played in four shots. The first 250 yards of the it does not say.
Okay. Well, I mean then.
Here we go. Sorry. I had to catch up. His tee shot was an enormous 365 yards.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's banana. That's.
I'm sorry, who is this?
DeChambeau. I mean, but driving it off the tee 365 yards is silly. That's like you watch those long drive competitions and stuff like that. They use illegal drivers for those long drive competitions. They're longer, the heads are bigger.
Isn't that what long drive means? Or would it be drive for distance
no,
as in the longest drive?
Driving for distance, longest drive. But the actual club itself is very
long. A
long
driver for long drives?
Yes.
Okay.
And the actual head of the golf club, you know, the part that hits the ball,
mm-hmm.
is like double the size.
Okay,
guys who are
it's like
you know,
a tennis racket.
Sure, but I mean, you can hit much further with those. They're not allowed on the tour. Those guys are hitting like 430 with completely different equipment meant for hitting that long. He's hitting 365 with a tour-approved driver, which is ridiculous.
Have the rules gotten a little bit more laxed, or are they still just as strict on drivers and stuff like that? Because you're talking about the different types of drivers. Could they be getting more lax, and that's why, obviously, his game is different. We haven't seen that distance in a while, so I'm not trying to take anything away from him, his power or anything like that, even though I'm not a giant DeChambeau fan. But also, do you think it has anything to do with maybe the technology that he's being able to use? Have they gotten lax? Obviously, well, golf clubs are advancing.
Everybody's using the same clubs. I mean, but yes, I mean, that is a big part of it. I mean, you look at a driver from 2004 versus now. I mean, it's completely different. It's science. Yeah, like, these are tools.
Well, I was talking with they were doing a remote today from Hops and Haulers. Shout out Hops and Haulers for their hospitality. So me, Trey, or Guy Patterson, and Adam Hickman were in here talking, and I was thinking out loud, I don't know if they do it. No one could tell me if they did it. I'm sure they probably do it somewhere as a tournament, but they should do one club tournaments. You can only use one club. You can only use a driver, or you can only use an iron, or you can only use one club. I think that would be fun.
Give me a non-iron.
Like a driver.
Give me a nine.
Because you can use the what's his face? The dude who broke his club was using his driver as a putter, sure. Because he missed a putt. Not pissed a what?
Give me a 9-iron, 8-iron, or a 7-iron, and I'll be able to play with just the one club.
Fair enough. Leaderboard check.
Putting would be difficult, but I think I could get it.
I'd agree on that. Yeah. I hit my 7, 8, 9 the best.
It's just you need consistent. You don't have to hit it 250 yards. If you can hit it 170 yards three times, you're on the green on any hole. So just flip it out there.
Quick leaderboard check. Justin Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
Making sure. I keep wanting to call him Jalen Rose. But Rose still in the lead, -7 today. He was even today, but still at -7 after that fantastic day on the course yesterday. Will Zalortis.
Zalatoris.
There we go.
Zalatoris.
Will Zalatoris. He's tied for second with Brian Harman.
That name literally just kicked my ass.
Both sitting at 6-under.
Yep.
Leishman. Right
Mark
there.
Leishman. Yep.
Sitting there at 5-under.
Tied with Spieth.
Spieth sitting there. Spieth had one heck of a day.
Yep, 4-under today.
He's looking good.
He's not winning anything.
There's a lot of Spieth haters. I don't really get it. I like Spieth. He plays well. I like his attitude.
He looks like every kid I went to high school with.
But he didn't play as well as Tony Finau today.
Tony Finau. 6-under. He's on a tear.
As soon as his name got stuck in my head, I had a feeling he was going to win something. I can't get his name out of my head. I've been singing it to the tune of Who Could It Be Now for 5 days now.
It would be...
Could Tony Finau... Bum, 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 bum. Such a beautiful little lyric.
Right.
I can't do it justice.
Yeah, he's 4-under on the tournament.
Yeah, he's tied for 6th.
Yep, with Justin Thomas as one of those. Cameron Champion, he played pretty well today.
Weesoon Kim, is that his name right there, tied 6th as well?
Yeah. Yep, he's in there. I think there's one more, too. Bernd Weisberger.
Matsuyama.
It's interesting because Matsuyama went, I think, 3-under yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Only goes 1-under today.
That's still
and then
like
Justin Rose was even. Like the leaderboard guys, they weren't able to stretch or build upon how they played yesterday too much.
No, the course is showing up for this tournament. I mean,
for sure.
So I like it. I think whenever he's sitting at what, 7-under?
Yeah.
So whenever your leaders are like 7-under, he's still within reach of a lot of guys that can actually, like, I mean, fingers crossed for me, but Colin Morikawa sitting at 2-under right now, he could make a push into the top 3 tomorrow. Like, he's definitely into this tournament sitting in 13th, as opposed to, like, in years past where the leader's, like, you know, 17-under by now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like that a lot. It leaves the field a lot more open. Like, right now, there's really no telling who's going to win this tournament.
For sure. Yeah,
it's going to come down to who plays the best on Sunday.
And I think the fact that apparently there's supposed to be rain that's supposed to come through
it's
tomorrow.
Soften those
and
greens up.
Yeah.
So guys are going to be sticking them on Saturday and Sunday, which is going to be good. It's going to be fun. Going to allow for a lot of eagle putts, a lot of birdie putts. Guys try to make, you know, is it Saturday moving day? Is that not the term everybody uses it?
Yes.
Yeah, Saturday's moving day. So tomorrow's a big day for a lot of these guys sitting here in the top 15.
Tennessee baseball's in action, I believe.
Did we
get
is,
in under action? I can't find us on ESPN.
Is,
it's really pissing
taking
me off.
On Florida tonight, correct?
I believe it might have
already
got in action. I saw a tweet, a couple of them, so I was trying to find the score.
Yeah,
any sort
did
of
you
update.
See the tweet from our own Houston Crest?
That's the tweet I saw. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the tweet?
He suggested hitting their first batter for Folky.
I was going to use that as my
that
joke.
That would have been pretty cool. You were going to steal Houston's joke?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Now I got to think of something.
I'm glad you at least acknowledged it.
I think we're going to have to take a break. I got to think of some jokes.
We probably should.
No, I have to write jokes. All right, we'll be right back. I got to go write some jokes.
Okay.
Welcome back in, Phantom Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Ain't holding for anything. We're going right in. There's no reason to hold
podcast
on.
Podcast just refused to start.
It's okay. It's all good. Just maybe be better at your job.
Yeah.
I kid. Okay. I kid. I like being mean. Let me be mean. That's my personality. Oh, that's what we do here. We break balls.
I'm
going
to turn
fun.
Off my mic and let me know when I'm allowed to speak.
Okay. So I'll text you at 8 p.m.
Roasted.
It's harsh.
You can't come at the king. You can't come at the king, as Spencer Shea says.
Okay.
Debate time? I got a couple topics
I
wanted to pick out.
I would be down to do a little debating.
I'm glad we're starting hot. I'm glad we're starting heated. Already mad at each other.
Yes.
But debates. Saw a tweet today. I sent it into the group chat. I'm pretty sure we all kind of already saw the first one. But I saw a tweet today, and actually, it made me think. Because I'm a Titans fan, obviously, but this one made me think, and I wanted to see what y'all thought about it. And y'all kind of agreed with me, but I still think it's going to sponsor some good conversation. NFL on CBS tweets out earlier today, 9:59 a.m., only one player in NFL history has put up 2,500 yards from scrimmage in a single season, that person being Chris Johnson. Quote tweeted by, I'll give him Vincenzo. There's no CH, but that's confusing to me. Anyways, he tweets out saying, name a franchise of a better stable of historic running backs you can't.
Referring to the Titans.
Referring to the Titans, obviously. So basically saying like the Titans have the best stable of running backs in history. Now, two things. A, surprised how quickly y'all were like, yeah, it makes sense. And no heated disagreement. It was just kind of like, yeah, I guess. It wasn't anything 100% yes, and it wasn't anything 100% no. So I figured we could talk about it. But thinking about it, it does make sense. They've had one of the shorter histories of any of the teams right now that are in the league. Like, they are kind of a newer franchise for being the Tennessee Titans. And so in that span of the time, you can think of some really solid running backs in that short span of time. And so you kind of, with the other teams like a Green Bay Packers or someone, there's so many bad running backs that even if you have good running backs, the bad outweighs the good sometimes. So Tennessee Titans, I think, it'll benefit of the doubt from that. But also when you think of Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry are the first three that come to mind. But then you also have like a Lindell White and a couple other solid producers for a couple of years in between those guys. I wanted to know what y'all think. You think the Tennessee Titans have the best stable of running backs in the history of the NFL? Alex, you're not allowed to talk. No, I'm kidding. You can talk. You can obviously say something.
If not, they're definitely up there.
They're going to be
top five. Yeah, like clearly. I mean, with just the carryover that they've had, I mean, sure, there's been gaps where you've got like a guy for a year or two that's not insane. But when it comes to the overall, like over the years as a, you know, if you were to grade the running back room as a whole for the franchise for history, it's probably like an A-. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's been pretty solid.
It's pretty damn good. So
I'm just trying to think of off the top of my head. I mean, the Bears you got to throw in there because Gale Sayers and Walter Payton were so legendary.
Yes.
The Cowboys, obviously, with Emmitt Smith. Zeke is not a bad running back at all. Herschel Walker spent some time there. Mm-hmm. Dorsett was pretty solid there as well. Raiders have had some good ones with Marcus Allen, Bo Jackson. Herschel Walker played a little bit there as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're saying of all time.
Yeah. Okay. Just kind of thinking back. I'm trying to think. I sent another two teams in there. I can't remember what I said. But I was just thinking off Buffalo with Frank Gore, Fred Jackson, I think.
Gore wasn't a quality running
but
back.
But
Frank Gore was past prime Frank Gore.
He's a workhorse.
Was Frank Gore?
He's a workhorse.
I got confused. I meant to say 49ers. I was just thinking Frank Gore. I'm an idiot. I forgot he spent his prime with the 49ers, not the Bills. That one's on me.
Yep.
That's okay.
But the Steelers also, I thought, had a pretty Francisco Harris. You got Le'Veon Bell in there.
It's Franco Harris.
Franco Harris.
My bad. I've been saying that wrong for years.
Francisco Harris.
I've been saying Francisco Harris probably since I was knee high.
That's all right.
That's not good. Anyways, but I mean, you got guys like that. Le'Veon Bell also through the history. Rashad Mendenhall and a couple other guys were pretty solid throughout there. But I do think the Titans are at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Good debate, guys.
I'm just trying to think of more, like, someone with, especially in recent history, they're probably number one. Like, in my lifetime, they're probably the best, like, they've had the best running backs. But when you go over all the entire history of the NFL, you start to think about, like, the Cowboys are probably number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that kind of
overall? Yeah.
Depending on how Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb churn out production, you could maybe throw the Browns in there with Jim Brown from that history. Volga, you got any other Browns running backs off the top of your dome?
Duke Not Johnson. Any that are too good. No.
Jim Brown was pretty
really
good,
not
though.
Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. You know, currently.
Yeah, we have them currently.
But that could also end drastically. That could fall off a cliff and die. So,
I mean, it won't, but...
It could. Derrick Henry could fall... Theoretically, I don't want to say Derrick Henry could fall off a cliff and die because that sounds like I'm telling him to fall off a cliff and die, but like his production could fall off a cliff the next season or get injured and everything be wiped away.
It's true. He gets like 30 carries a game.
Exactly. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you gotta know it could happen.
No, it totally could.
I mean, like the Chiefs have a pretty decent, like pretty decent stable running backs. You got Jamal Charles, Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, Christian Okoye, Marcus Allen, Kareem Hunt. That one time was pretty cool. That was pretty fun.
But like, Marcus Allen had a better career, I'd argue, with the Raiders, or at least more remembered with the Raiders. Kareem Hunt definitely now more remembered in my brain, will probably go down as a Brown and not a Chief. I do agree with you. Priest Holmes and Christian Okoye?
Christian Okoye.
I got some other ones.
Nigerian Nightmare. Kamaru Usman, the UFC fighter. It's Christian Okoye. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. No, that's fine.
The Giants have had some good running backs the last 20 years. Tiki Barber went on to Brandon Jacobs, who's a good running back.
Also pretty good.
Ahmad Bradshaw had a good few years there. Then,
any running back wearing the number 40, I'm out on.
Yeah, both of them wore the number 40.
Yeah, I'm out.
Were in the 40s. I'm out. So. Well, they were
big guys. That's how I knew Peyton Hillis wasn't going to be anything. He wore 40. What type of running back wears 40?
Peyton Hillis had a really good year. Yeah.
He had one good year. He was on the cover of Madden and never did anything.
Sure. Yeah. And then
well, it's the Madden curse.
Yeah.
Different story.
You can't blame that.
Tom Brady won a Super Bowl after getting on the cover of Madden. Lamar Jackson was still a capable quarterback. Like, the Madden curse is a thing,
Patrick
but not
Mahomes
really.
Was on the cover.
Peyton
what
sucked.
Happened to him?
He bought a baseball team.
Didn't we win a Super Bowl? Was that not?
No.
Was that not 20? Because Lamar Jackson's on 21.
Yeah, you're right.
We won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So Madden curse is
Madden curse
thing.
Dead.
Yeah.
Well, Pepsi versus Coke.
But still, whatever's the Giants. And then the Giants have Saquon Barkley now.
Sure. So 1, 2. Pretty cool.
3, 4.
What other two? Oh, you did.
5, 6.
Yeah.
9, 10.
What? 6 to 9, 10.
Yeah.
How'd you?
I just wanted to say a higher number.
That's Granger math right there for you, Folky.
All right. Got me where I am today, so it doesn't matter. On top of the world, baby.
There you go.
Also, I pulled up all of our. I was wondering who our top five was. I knew Jamal Charles was our leading rusher for the Chiefs, but Alex Smith, top 20 running back for the Chiefs of all time. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good
if Alex Smith is in your top 20 of all time, I don't think you can put your team in this conversation of best running backs.
Top 20.
Jaguars had some good running backs late 2000s or early 2000s to late 2000s.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
No, Fred Taylor.
Fred Taylor wasn't terrible.
Wasn't terrible. He was great. I loved Fred Taylor.
It just didn't get me going. Doesn't get me going.
Let me try.
What about Pepsi versus Coke, guys? Pepsi versus Coke.
Coke. It's a classic.
Pepsi tastes like medicine.
It does. Yeah.
Thank you. How about?
How often are you drinking medicine?
You know what medicine tastes like.
Like cough syrup.
How often are you drinking on cough syrup?
I'm not saying. I drink it regularly.
Okay,
double brimmed up.
You know what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it tastes like.
That's like a taste that you just need in your life and you know.
When was the last time you ate an apple?
Oh, that's actually a really good question.
You know what it tastes like, though, don't you?
No, I'm not a big
fruit
eater.
Oh, you have
eater.
No idea. You have no idea what an apple tastes like, huh?
A Granny Smith.
No clue.
It seems as if you're not an eater
Red
at all.
Red Delicious, my
Granny
guy.
Granny Smiths were the only one. I heard that one, Alex. Don't think I let that slide. Granny Smiths are the only apple that I would eat, and I can't really remember for the life. Maybe just sour apples. I'm a really picky eater.
I'm not a sour apple kind of guy. I'm a honey gold apple kind of. Honey crisp. Is it honey gold or honey crisp? Or are those two different things?
I like all apples.
I think it's honey crisp.
Honey crisp are pretty
big
good.
Apple?
Golden big delicious.
Apple? Big apple.
I have no idea.
New York?
I just think it's honey crisp.
Honey apples. Crisp, sir. That's
a city.
That is correct.
Are y'all talking cereals?
No, we're talking apples.
Oh, I heard honey crisp.
A little apple talk over here for the people.
I'm not a huge...
People been begging for
apple talk.
I decided to give it to
they
them.
They heard candy talk. We had to then go and just go the way on the other side.
My dentist called me pissed off, so I had to give him a little
My mom yelled at me. She was like, you need to talk more about fruits and vegetables on your show, not Starburst.
We got to be better for the children.
Pepsi or root beer?
Pepsi. Root beer is disgusting.
Root beer. No.
Root beer is overrated and disgusting.
No,
thank
you,
Tucker. Root beer is the nastiest beverage on the market.
Turn his mic off. Turn his mic off. Turn his mic off. Turn his cut his mic. Yeah. He's out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. We'll be right back. Hour two, overtime live from the Fandom Radio Studios, kicking off right now. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Ferguson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys, always going up until 10 p.m. If you want to join the show, just call the G3 Help Me hotline. That number is 865-558. Oh, no, I did it again. 865-546. No, wait, what? I'm
said 10 p.m.
No, I said 8 p.m. Okay, now you're confusing me even more. I got the phone number wrong is what I was worried about. What's the phone number? Now I can't even think about it. My brain's not working.
I'm hoping that one day you read your own phone number out on the air live accident. that would rock.
I might start doing that to end the show. I might give out a digit of my phone number every single time.
And let everybody
piece
it together.
And so if you will listen to 7 shows in a row, I will allow you to FaceTime me. That seems fair. If you listen to 7 of our shows in a row,
you can
FaceTime me.
I'm not giving up my phone number.
I'll give my first 8.
And then you can guess. The
8. If you're listening right now, 8.
Does that count the area code?
That's the area code.
Okay. Yeah.
So 3 episodes might be a waste.
I can guess the next 2.
Can you?
We don't
you don't
know
where I'm from. Could be 808.
Okay.
Could be 801.
We'll see.
You don't know where I'm from. You don't know where
I can't
stay.
Wait.
What's the phone number for the station? I'm blanking still. I can't figure it out.
546-8200.
546-8200. I don't know whose phone number I read on air. I apologize that I started with whoever's phone number, but
that's tough.
865-546-8200. That was the biggest brain fart I've had. If you want to call to the G3 Help Me hotline, if your loved one's been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit them at g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558. That's where I got the 558 from. I knew I was on the track of something. 865-558-8030 is the G3 Help Me hotline number if you want to call them. They've been serving East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, so let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. And the reason I bring that up is because, speaking about injury, speaking about being injured in some sort of incident, the guy who started the season off with injury, then just apparently seemed like did not see eye to eye, Corey Walker has transferred out of the program. Or I guess I shouldn't say transfer out of the program, has entered the transfer portal, or is, I don't know, I didn't see the tweet or whatever came about it. I just know that him and EJ Anasicki at the same time announced they were going to be in the transfer portal. I guess I'm using the proper terminology. Alex,
yes.
You did it happen during 3 and out, or was this after 3 and out?
No, this was after 3 and out.
Every time.
Yeah, and also after 3 and out, Devontae Gaines announced he was going to George Mason to join former assistant coach Kim English.
That one doesn't, like, good for Devontae Gaines. That one didn't really affect me that much.
He's got a good mentality for a guy.
He's a mid-major player, and that's not an insult, but that's the mentality he has. He belongs at a St. Bonaventura,
he's a
school
scrapper.
Like that. Exactly.
I love Devontae Gaines. I love his attitude. Like he had the right work ethic. He's just not as
his game reminds me a lot of myself. I mean, sure. I'm going to airball a lot of corner threes. I'm not going to hit my free throws. But you're going to be really annoyed when I'm playing defense against you. You are going to hate me every bit. Like, he was the one who always got the short end of a stick during a physical altercation or going up at the rim. He was always the one ended up on the ground. And I don't know how to phrase this because I don't want to be insulting and I don't want to be mean, but he not a Tennessee basketball player. Not an SEC basketball player. You could tell from the moment I think he hit the floor this season that the development wasn't there, just like a lot of guys, the development wasn't there. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of guys leaving, but I don't know. We haven't lost any key pieces other than Corey Walker that I'm too worried about, but if the culture wasn't a right fit, there's no reason to try to force yourself into something that's not going to work. Corey Walker on his way out, as well as EJ Anasicki. EJ Anasicki now is second time transferring. He came from Sacred Heart, I believe, Sacred Heart University, and now we'll be looking to transfer someone else, I guess.
It's hard to be upset about Corey Walker transferring because you never really saw him.
Yeah, like, that's also why you can be upset is because you had no idea what was there.
Sure,
so there's
granted,
the flip side of the coin always.
But the thing is, the way I try to look at it and try to trust Rick Barnes at minimum like this is
I'm glad
is the
we're carrying water. Let's go.
No, I'm not carrying water, all right? I'm still not happy with Rick Barnes.
I can say that. I'm the biggest water carrier on the show for him.
You do have one of those camelback backpacks on for him. But, like, I trust Rick Barnes enough to where if he was good enough to be playing, I would hope that Rick Barnes was playing him. Like, there's a reason he wasn't playing, and I trust Rick Barnes to at least be good enough to where he's not absolutely letting a guy who would be a huge contributor walk, I would think. So I'm not – the sky isn't falling. I think we're okay. If they're leaving, there's a reason for it.
Well, I mean, now it's just that you have even more spots that you're going to have to fill.
Now, let's go get some more people in the transfer market.
But it's also more spots you can fill. So
because also we failed to mention that Yves Pons just tweeted out today, very short message, just a mercy Tennessee and,
Mercy.
You know, I'll remember.
Mercy.
Sorry.
You correct me on my pronunciation.
No,
let me have my one.
That's fair.
Let
I'm, not,
have my
I'm
one.
Not good with French. I haven't learned French yet. But
it just means thank you.
I'm aware. Okay. I just don't know the pronunciation.
I got you. I was just making sure everybody here and at home knew.
That was probably my only ever opportunity to correct you on a pronunciation of a foreign word, so I wanted to jump right on it.
Which is confusing because you were talking to us about Latin yesterday about how you knew Latin.
I do know Latin.
It's a dead language.
Yes, but it's the root of all Romance languages.
Exactly.
So I know I can vaguely know every word's definition, but I can't speak any of them.
Okay, yeah, Pons is going to the draft. That you're giving me pronunciation tips, but
I had to jump on it. It was my only opportunity. But anyways, Pons, yes, going to the draft. Speaking of mispronunciation, a guy who no one has ever gotten his name right, including myself. You corrected me on his name a couple of times.
Yeah, the audience on Three and Out would crush me if I ever said Eves.
I say it every time.
S is silent.
They're right. They are correct.
No, it's not. It's not a.
Alex, if anybody ever on Three and Out is just
like
the S is silent and they pull that pronunciation card, just ask them how to pronounce Kamwa's name or spell it.
Kamwa.
Exactly. See? Exactly. You got him instantly. But anyways, Pons going to the draft. The reason I didn't mention that, or at least it wasn't on the forefront of my mind, is I think we all kind of knew.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a surprise. I don't want to say
a second
surprise.
Round guy, right?
The athleticism is there. I think he is still very, very much...
If you can coach him at all, like if you have a decent coaching staff, I think you can mold him into a really good role player.
I mean, if you just
second round, it'd be late second round. If he doesn't get that, then obviously I think undrafted, he'll still sign somewhere.
That's what I was about to say. I think regardless, he ends up on a team.
His physical frame just fits too many ideologies that are going on in the NBA with positionless basketball, especially. And I mean, when you look at the way his offensive game, just the dribbling, the ball handling, the IQ on the offensive end in general, and the 3-point shooting and the jump shot in general as well.
Rim protecting, like he's such a good guy.
And you knew that coming in that he was going to be able to fly like
that.
But my thing that I love so much was just being able to see that development on the offensive end. And he still, from last year to this year, had a little bit more development. It wasn't as much as everyone wanted to see, because you kind of thought maybe he could take over if the development from year two to year three had the exact same, if you had the same amount of a development from year three to year four, there was no telling how good he was going to be. Not that much development, but I still think there's a lot of room to grow for Yves Pons games.
Yeah, but as far as, you know, getting back to Tennessee, the roster. So you have Eve now leaving. You have Keon gone for the draft. Jaden Springer gone for the draft. Pember, Gaines, both transferred. All right. Now you have Kennedy Chandler coming in. You have Jemai Meshack coming in. You got Quentin Dibunji coming in. Am I missing another recruit there?
Justin Powell as well.
Justin Powell.
I guess not a recruit, but a transfer. And there are some rumors about him and Walker Kessler played on the same AAU team when they were younger. So that's just a statement of fact. They played on the same AAU team.
I heard he's got a connection with Walker Kessler.
Yeah, not saying we are, but to get both of those guys would be an absolute grand slam.
But when you look at the teams who are after both those guys, they're a very similar list. Obviously, Walker Kessler has more guys after him, but a very similar list in terms of who was coming after those guys. So. There's a shot there.
I hear that the leading contender for Walker Kessler is Gonzaga.
Really? Really? I mean, it makes sense. He wants to space his game out, and they show that they have the flexibility to just let you do whatever your offensive game will do. Like, you can go play whatever basketball works for you. Mark Few is going to let you play that game of basketball. Like, Jalen Suggs didn't have to do anything outside of his game other than a game-winning shot.
Oh, the Vols are about to score.
Get in there. Touchdown.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Balls up. 1-0 on the Gators. Bottom of the third.
Love
RBI
that.
Single. I think it was by Jake Rucker. Not 100% sure on that, but
we have the best Rucker. Nope, that's Kumar.
No,
Rocker.
It wasn't. It was
that's,
Liam
that's,
Spence.
That's Kumar Rocker.
Liam Spence with the RBI single. But,
beautiful.
It, you know, going back to Tennessee basketball, so you had four of those five spots that I listed filled, okay? Now you just had two more open up. So now you got three more spots to fill with, I'm assuming, transfers.
I mean, there's still a little bit of, I guess
you get a late recruit, but that recruit is 100% not going to be a great one. It's going to be a three-star guy.
Maybe. I mean, you could see someone flip or decommit, but I doubt that happens. It's much more likely you get a three-star guy. But I don't know, man. I agree with Tucker. Sky's not falling. But it's definitely a little bit lower.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as high as it was, and I can admit that. Sure. As the biggest water carrier on this show is someone who can admit that I am just a huge Rick Barnes stan. I think he's building something here, and I think that people who want to jump ship can jump ship if they want to. But, like, there's something building here. We haven't seen one and dones in a while. Like, there's something that's starting the process of being something good. But it also is a little bit concerning to watch some of the guys when you're so selling yourself on not just the product on the court, but the culture, the thing that is building. And then you see a Corey Walker, who is a high-level player who I was very excited to watch play this year, exit the team. Like, that makes me nervous about the culture.
We would talk about looking forward to next year during this past season. We would talk about, oh, you got Kennedy and Meshack coming in. And, guys, we're also forgetting Corey Walker is on this roster.
6'8", 218 pounds.
Yep. And we thought, okay, he'd be perfect to kind of fill the role of Eve Ponce. Not to mention that you also have, you know, Josiah coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But now to lose one of that, you know, we couldn't have predicted how good Corey Walker is going to be. Like, we can't predict that. But, I mean, he was a four-star guy. He looked like a guy that could develop.
I mean, I've been seeing his highlights since eighth grade. Him and I are the same age, both born 2002, both 19 years old. I've been seeing his highlights since we were both in the eighth grade, and he was dunking basketballs. Like, he's been at the forefront of House of Highlights type plays for a long time. Like, that's a name I knew before I was even in high school type deal. So to not get to watch him play really sucks. My question is, talking about this Tennessee basketball roster, talking about the turnover, the turmoil, whatever you want to call it, that we're in right now, who do you think, because we talk about development, I was talking about Ponce's year two to year three jump, that was one of the best things I've ever seen. Who do you think is going to be the most improved, maybe the most impressive, an MIP type player, most improved, most impressive? Who are you expecting to rock your socks come the 2021-22 basketball season for the Tennessee Volunteers? And don't give me Kennedy Chandler. It's the only name I don't want to hear, if that's okay with y'all. Because, yeah, I think we're all very excited to see what Kennedy Chandler can do.
Nothing. I mean, you can't be most improved if he wasn't here.
Exactly, but I guess most excited to see as well. But who do you think is going to maybe have the best year? Josiah Jordan James, maybe in a more free-flowing spot, getting starter minutes, could find himself there.
That was where my head went first.
But also, you could have maybe Vescovi or Bailey, who, if we get a true point guard in, maybe playing their true position, you could see them starting to find comfort in whatever offense we run next year. There's a lot of question marks around what could happen.
You see, for me, in order for Bailey to be our most improved player or kind of your standout guy, it depends if Justin Powell's immediately eligible. Because I think that's if Justin point. Powell's immediately eligible,
all of,
that
all
takes
of them are
away
immediately
from
eligible,
Victor.
Correct?
I don't know, because, like, usually within conference you have to sit out a year.
But I thought with COVID everything is immediately eligible and all transfers are okay. And I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Fair enough. I guess we don't want to speculate or say anything that's wrong. I don't know, man. It's concerning for sure. But obviously, well wishes to everyone who exits the program. I mean, like, if it's not the right fit, you do not force it. That's just going to create more issues, more problem, more friction down the road. Like, that's just going to create a bad culture. So, I was thinking about this earlier, and I like to overthink things. I like to look too much into things. Y'all know that. And when the Anasicki, the Devontae Gaines, and the Corey Walker news kind of all comes at the same time, and I type this out in the group chat, but I don't think I send it. You kind of have to hope that there's another guy on the horizon, another transfer, another recruit, someone that they think is going to come. Do you think there was any rhyme or reason to two guys and Devontae Gaines all breaking in the news at the same time? Or is that just one giant coincidence? Like, is there some, maybe not get shirts, but was there some sort of maybe a not very hard selling point from Rick Barnes to try to get these guys to stay if he knew something coming in? Do we have any hope, any aspirations, any pro to the con side type deal of that? Or do we think this is just guys who needed to get out of here?
No, that's a great question, because with a guy like Corey Walker who didn't play last season, and with EJ Anasicki, when you're kind of low on big men, mm-hmm. and you don't know whether Fulke's coming back, maybe they have an insight that Folky's coming back, so Rick Barnes thought, okay, I could spare a big man. Or with Corey Walker, you know, maybe Rick Barnes made a pitch for him to stay, and ultimately he left because of he didn't play last season. Like, that's going to be interesting to hear maybe in this next week, couple weeks, maybe a month from now, as to whether or not these guys were forced out or, you know, we tried to convince them to stay and ultimately they decided to leave.
It's definitely fun to kind of speculate and also connect dots after things happen. When you look at the Devontae Gaines, Drew Pember news, how fast on the heels of that news did the Justin Powell signing come? I feel like it was within a couple of days. I could be mistaken. My timelines are a little weird. COVID's thrown my mental clock all the way off. But it seemed like that was a pretty quick turnaround to let two guys go with get shirts, or what it seemed like get shirts, and then have another transfer come in right then and there.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, did Springer declare for the draft prior to Powell committing?
Springer declared for the draft, I thought, like the next day after the season ended. Did he not?
Yeah, I believe he had already went into the portal.
Yeah, so I wouldn't...
Already saying he was leaving.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say necessarily that, you know, because of the transfers that Powell came in. Because, you know, if Jaden Springer's spot opens up, then...
Doors are open.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I'm excited to see what this team can do, what this team can field. I was going to say something else, but I can't remember. I hate when that happens. It's the worst for radio because you're supposed to say things. But it's whatever. Hit a quick break.
Yeah.
Sounds good. We'll be right back. Hour 2, Fanron Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime rolling right along live from the Fanron Radio studios. Man. Falls right now, error for Florida as I look up at the screen. Idiot.
Love that.
Bottom of the fourth, runner on first. No outs for the Vols, down 2-1 as Florida hit two. Was it two dingers in the top
they
of the
did.
Third? Top
Unfortunately.
Of the fourth?
Yes, they hit two home runs.
Was it back-to-back?
I don't think it was back-to-back. One to right center, one to left.
Okay.
They were just showing the camera angle of the first base. And you could see the legends of Lindsey Nelson giving it to that first base.
In full force?
In full force.
I really, if we got to go to a game.
I would really,
I want to be mean to people so bad.
Really like to go to a Vols baseball game this year. It's going to be tough to get out to Vandy next weekend. That's what I want really, really bad.
No, I want to go to
ETSU. I'll let y'all know if I make it.
You want to go make fun of, like.
Yeah, I want to go make fun of the bottom feeders.
A team that we beat 10-3.
Well, I mean, I know a couple kids from Farragut who play on there probably.
Okay, so you want to go be mean to
them.
Okay.
Play on who?
ETSU.
Yeah, I'm not going to that.
I don't think we're playing ETSU again throughout the
day. I can't go to the midweek game either. You know?
Neither can we. Yeah. We kind of have a radio show to do.
Yes.
Big a deal. We only have like three listeners. Yeah, we just let them know we're taking the night off.
As soon as all three of us take our headphones off, we have no listeners.
Yeah, just tell them to, like, before.
Folky doesn't even listen.
That's true. But, like, the five people who actually do listen, tell them we're going to the game and they can just sit four rows behind us and we can just talk.
Why do they have to sit four rows behind us?
Well, they can sit with us.
But, say, you can't come three. No,
I'm just saying, if they
four,
wanted to.
Please, no, sir.
If they
I need you one more row above me, please.
If they wanted to,
come say what's up. I mean, Westchester was talking about the dog pound. I believe the drive is probably
going
to get it together. But
that's one of our listeners right there, Westchester. Then we got Matthew, but he's out in Memphis, so I don't know if he's going to make it.
I don't know if he would make the drive for a baseball game.
Then we got Steven on Twitter, who admitted he was an overtime listener when I was saying no one listens to our show.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Tweeted in, said, I listen to overtime.
You know what?
It's like confessing to a murder.
Brave soul, yeah.
Yeah, I killed that person.
To say something so controversial, yes,
so brave.
He's a hero in my eyes. But, man.
I think I hit them all right there.
That's it. We did it.
We were giving Folky some movie advice. I think we should all take this weekend, watch some good movies. Let's come back with some recommendations. Let's do a little recommendation type thing.
I could do one right now.
Oh, I don't want to do it right now.
Me neither. I was bluffing.
I've been.
You think I had one on deck? I was bluffing.
I've been preaching this movie to y'all.
I don't want to do it right now.
My bad.
He said. What did he just say?
I wasn't listening.
We can't get good interns anymore.
Even I can't listen full show.
Sam would have never tried to force that segment.
No, let me hear you. What movie? Is it Triple Nine?
Yeah,
Triple
Nine.
We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix yesterday.
No, you talked about it on air yesterday.
I did?
Yes, you recommended it on air yesterday.
That's my bad.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Two recommendations in 2 days.
It must be that good.
Yeah, it's that good.
What about you? What do you got recommendation-wise? What are the fellas watching this weekend?
Let's see.
Oh, you got something on deck the fellas need to be watching this weekend, too?
I tried to watch Kong versus Godzilla.
Don't watch that.
I have a hell of an article pulled up about that.
Terrible.
No, hold on. Hold on. I have never seen Godzilla or like Kong Skull Island. I had seen none of these Monster Universe movies.
No, that's a Monsters Inc. movie.
Shut up. It's definitely you definitely need to see the other movies because it just kind of hops you in there and.
Well, you got
to
see the first Godzilla versus Kong. It ends in a tie.
That's not like you're talking about the 1950s movie.
That's such a spoiler.
Anyways, there was a lot going on that I feel like I needed prior knowledge.
Or it's
like,
almost
100
years old.
I haven't seen it.
And they were talking about, like, this is very, very, very early in Kong versus Godzilla. So I'm just, they started talking about, like, Hollow Earth.
I heard about that.
And I was like, is this something, like, I should have known about? Or, like, because they really just kind of, like, they like, tell you about it. And then it's just, like, a thing. It's just a thing now. Like, they don't, there's no... like basis on why they believe this.
You want to hear this headline from The Ringer about Godzilla versus Kong?
The Ringer? Is it like a magazine?
It's just a website.
It's just something.
Good website.
Okay.
Bill Simmons is right. I was thinking
of like maybe there's like a baseball player in the MLB website. Who's just really good, liked movies.
No, this is just someone who's always calling people.
Gotcha.
Godzilla versus Kong might have just resurrected the movie industry.
No, that's a lie. This is a satirical bold claim.
Nope, this is The Ringer, not The Onion. Making nearly $50 million in its opening weekend, the movie far outperformed other pandemic releases, signaling hope for a theater-going industry rattled by COVID-19 and streaming.
That's just because you know we're starting to come out of it. No,
it's like it's like this was our most crowded remote show today.
It was also on HBO.
Yeah.
It was on HBO Max.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Is that like box office, like at the theaters?
It just
numbers?
Says $50 million in its opening weekend. I'm assuming you don't count the.
I guess.
How would you do dollar amounts on streaming services?
I would say.
Just take everyone's $8.99 as a ticket price?
No, I would say that is probably just strictly movie theaters.
Have you heard the news? Godzilla and King Kong have utterly decimated Hong Kong, unfortunately, but also they may have just brought the movie business back to life.
Well, that.
Warner Bros.
That's a bold claim.
Warner Bros. Sounds like such a good frat. Godzilla vs. Kong opened in theaters nationwide last Wednesday, and though it was released simultaneously on HBO Max, that didn't stop the blockbuster from putting up monster numbers. Through the end of Easter, the weekend, the tentpole brought nearly $50 million, easily smashing pandemic previous turnouts. So,
okay.
Not bad. No other movie had surpassed $25 million, and that was... The Last Dragon and Raya, or Raya and the Last Dragon, if that's one movie title.
I've not even heard of those.
It's a new
movies.
Disney movie. Apparently,
sounds
it's pretty
like
sick.
A movie I'm not watching.
Yeah, not a big fan of children's
movies. What about Wonder Woman 1984? That's set $25 million.
That wasn't a good one.
Tom and Jerry managed to hit $20 million.
Did not watch that either.
I had no interest in watching that.
Not a ton of fantastic movies.
The Tom and Jerry movie was pretty fire.
A live action Tom and Jerry movie.
It was live action.
Sick. Yes. Well, it's cartoons.
Well, Tom and Jerry were still a cartoon,
but everyone else added it. It was so sick. It was like the Smurfs movie from a while ago with Neil Patrick Harris.
Did not watch that.
I was nine when I watched it, but it was pretty good. If I have a recommendation to give out, Foley, do you have one to give out before I give one out?
Not shows that are supposed to be cartoons that are now live action. Don't watch those. Watch the cartoons.
Okay.
That wasn't even the question.
What's your recommendation,
Will?
What? For like this weekend or for cartoon movies that have live action cartoons?
Okay,
what's your
favorite movie of all time?
If I'm going live action cartoon movie,
Field of Dreams.
Garfield. All right. The Bill Murray Garfield.
I was
a big fan of that as a child.
I think I saw that one.
Okay. I was a big fan of that one.
Just
child.
List like your top three.
I don't want to go back and watch that movie though.
I don't know.
Probably doesn't hold up.
Sandlot's definitely up there. Toy Story's a banger.
Toy Story's a banger.
It is.
That was
you
folky.
Have no idea how much
6 years
I
old
like
when he watched Toy Story for the first time.
Mom, this movie's a banger.
It is.
Eating a popsicle.
Tennessee just took the lead against Florida 3-2.
Let's go
on a double.
Pop.
Let's go.
Did you say popsicles in a theater?
Huh?
What?
You just said eating a popsicle while watching Toy Story.
I mean, you can watch it at home. VHS was a big deal back then. It was this little square, like a rectangular little.
Okay, don't talk down to me like you had a VHS system.
Oh, you know we did.
I'm sorry.
Don't talk down to me like you didn't have a VHS system until the year 2018.
No, the city had a VHS. Everyone would meet in the middle of town, and we would put it in.
Your whole city had, like, so the schools had, like, the TV carts that had the TV, and you brought it from room to room. You had one for the whole city?
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't on a car. It was literally just a VHS, and we had like a projector.
You think people like in Granger County when the Google Homes thing, or not the Google Homes, the Google Earth truck drives through, people shoot at it?
Yes.
I wanted you to be honest. I wanted you to be real honest. You thought about that way too long.
Yeah.
Is that like a real thing that happens?
It's a tradition, actually. yeah, we all line the highway.
I went four-wheeling one time.
We got six of them hanging out over by the sheriff's office. They just
ready to go.
They just put them over there. Yeah, we
steal
them.
How many sheriffs do you have?
Just one.
I think Knox County only has one sheriff.
You mean like the sheriff?
There's only one sheriff. There's only one sheriff everywhere.
Yeah. Well,
each county has one sheriff.
How many deputies?
I don't know. Probably like
nine.
Six or seven.
I overestimated with my nine.
Probably like six or seven. So, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't keep the...
You got more deputies than you do doctors?
Well, yeah, the doctor doesn't have to cover a lot of ground. Mostly he just has this one place people come to. You know, the cops got to be...
Everywhere.
Know, a little spread out.
Bro, your doctor could double as like the news anchor and can be that one song, Doctor, Doctor,
probably
Give Me the News.
I don't know, bro. I don't know the full like
dichotomy of your ecosystem.
I've not been over there in a while. Maybe it's a booming metropolis in the last 6 months. I don't know.
Very, very
probably
highly
not.
Doubt it.
No.
No, but I went up to Windrock four-wheeling one time.
That's home,
and
I love that place.
We were looking up at the windmills, and so we were talking to my dad's friend, who was the guy who was taking his four-wheeling, and he was like, yeah, they just put fences up around these windmills, because apparently they didn't have fences around them beforehand. And well, my dad was like, well, what happened? Why are there fences up nowadays? Like, what was the issue? Why'd you have to put fences up now if there weren't fences beforehand?
Exactly.
Dad was kind of confused, and homie says, well, there was a government dude, and he was putting red lights on the top of the windmills, you know, to let planes see them. You know,
yes.
if you miss the giant spinning turbine, the red light will save your life.
Yes.
Type deal. Dude goes to the government employee. Hey, that's not a good idea. There's gonna be a bunch of drunk rednecks coming up here with four wheelers and guns, and they're gonna shoot at those red lights on the windmills. They shot at the red lights on the windmills, and now there's a fence around the windmills.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's,
okay.
That's how it goes.
That sounds like a good time, though. Get the buddies together. Take your rifle out there. The one who gets it, you know, doesn't have to buy the next round at the bar next time you go. Be a good way to do it.
Yeah. My movie recommendation, should I go comedy or should I go cry?
You should go favorite.
Comedy or, like, just good? There's more.
What type of weekend are we trying to have? I'm trying to set the vibe.
There's more than laughs and crying.
No, not in my arsenal of recommendations. This is what I watch.
Then just funny.
Funny. Okay, let me think.
I'm not trying to cry this weekend. We're gonna have a.
It's a good point by you. If you don't want to cry, that's okay. Not all of us are okay with our emotions. The Naked Guns are on Netflix.
I mean, those are pretty good.
The Leslie Nielsen films.
Yeah, I've seen
Neeson
those.
Films. Fantastic.
Yeah, they're
films.
Good.
I guess I would suggest those.
Airplane. I'm a big fan of Airplane.
Not a giant fan. Plane.
It's pretty funny.
Not a giant fan of Airplane.
The scene where he's flying that plane and just profusely sweating. That one always gets me. It's pretty funny. The autopilot being an inflatable pilot. That flies the plane. Pretty funny.
I cannot remember for the life of me what movie I watched the other day. It was very funny.
Airplane rocks.
What was it?
I watched Big Daddy last
Can't
night.
Can't remember it for the life of me.
I watched it yesterday.
You watched it yesterday? I watched it yesterday.
Big Daddy?
The Adam
Sandler
movie?
Oh, okay.
Oh, Bad Trip.
Bad
Sorry.
Trip? The yeah.
That was. I had to say it out loud or I was going to forget it again, but continue about Big Daddy.
Yeah, that's a movie that my childhood was like. I probably watched that movie like 9 or 10 times from the time.
Never
I was
seen
like,
that movie.
You've
really?
Never seen Big Daddy?
No.
It's a good wholesome fun watch.
You want to do an Adam Sandler films draft one day?
That would be a good.
Just
that would be
straight
a good
Adam
draft.
Sandler films.
It would be hard for all four of us to like. I mean, you'd have to start scraping a little bit. So I guess you'd have to strategize. With
I've never
you,
seen That's My Boy, and
I've not seen that
so
one.
Bad.
Davey did a movie review of That's My Boy. I think yesterday. It was.
Why'd you have to think so hard about yesterday?
24
hours. I lose track of my days.
I watched Triple Nine again. Oh, no.
Good movie. I recommend. But That's My Boy. Like, the scenes he was describing, and I started looking at some scenes on YouTube, and I was like, I may need to watch this movie.
It's not good.
I hear it's a stupid movie, but it's funny.
Yeah, I'm not a giant fan of Adam Sandler. I won't lie. Well, I won't pretend to cap in front of you guys. I'm not a giant Sandler stan.
But today I was watching Superbad because
Superbad's fantastic.
Superbad's a classic.
Davey did a movie review of Superbad. I was like, I haven't
Wait,
seen
so
that in a long
time. Wait, so can we
time.
Not do movie reviews? Is that like encroaching on Davey's territory?
Yeah, that's part of the Depot. It's a signature segment now.
What is the Depot consist of?
Davey's
Depot. I don't
For a whole entire segment, we just hand the reins off to Davey.
So he's been doing movie reviews and different things?
He does a movie review, he does a fact of the day, and he does a gambling pick of the day.
Okay, that's literally our whole show.
And now
a
banger of the day.
Okay, so yeah, now we're allowed to do that. That's literally just everything we talk about.
No, we're talking movies.
You can't lay claim to everything,
Mr. Dave. We're about to get into the meat of the off-season. We're doing movie reviews. Movies.
We did drafts and trivia every day during the normal season.
Exactly.
I can't imagine what we're going to try to do during the off-season.
Movies, TV shows, video games, just whatever we can find, we're going to talk about it.
Apples.
Yeah.
Candy apples.
I did talk about apples today. That was a good talk.
We all talked about apples.
Yeah, that was on air.
Yeah, you weren't.
Yes. No. I believe I proposed the apples though. You know, I'm at the forefront of the apple conversation.
I think we should start doing debates. Like, what's the best apple? We could have a debate on that.
Like, I'm proud of myself. This segment. You said I'm not going to get into movie reviews, and we started talking movies all because of me.
Well, that was
did.
A big. That was
you
kind of a joke.
You're welcome.
More of a bit.
Yes, but you are fired for forcing this segment.
Kind of
that's a.
The comedy aspect
it's a big
of the show.
No-no.
Sorry, get out of here early.
In the plans, business, that's you know? A big no-no. So
falls up 3-2, top of the fifth. Feeling two outs, good. One runner on first. Birthday's game next. You don't want to miss it. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. Folky, check your wristwatch and tell me what time it is.
It is
time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for
seconds.
The birthday game. I'm hosting today, and boy, oh boy, am I excited. I say it with a question mark because it's not a lot of great days or a lot of great names today, but not a lot of terrible names. We're starting with Saturday because I accidentally pulled up that page instead of Friday, so that's where we're starting.
Born All right.
August.
Let's get it rolling.
Born April 10th, not August 10th. He was born in Austin, Minnesota.
Ooh.
1936, 84 years old today. Sportscaster, we did his name recently, but not him. He's a legendary NFL coach and commentator, best known.
John Madden.
It's John Madden.
I almost just tried to go into a John Madden impression, but I've not done it in years.
Hey, folks.
So
I don't think I've heard John Madden talk ever.
I can only probably say like, Brett Favre. But see, it's not even good. I can't do it anymore.
Brett Favre.
I used to be good at it.
Let's never do that again.
Brett Favre.
Hey, won't you do one?
Brett Favre.
Alex?
I didn't claim to
Brett
try it.
Brett Favre.
One.
I didn't try one.
April 10th, 19...
Well, you said I'm not going to do it. And then
April 10th, 19...
Then,
that's,
then it doesn't count.
That's kind of what we do here. We're ironic. We're
then
comedians.
Then it doesn't count.
Irony. April 10th, 1992. Sadio Senegal.
Yeah, sure.
Soccer player. 28
Sadio
years
Mane.
Old. It is Sadio Mane. Sorry. Good
yeah,
enough.
I knew that. He was just way quicker
yeah,
than me.
Yeah, good enough name to do. I mean, fastest hat trick in the history. Fantastic soccer player.
Never heard
That's
of that guy
of.
Ever. Never heard of that guy.
Here we go. April 10th, 1950. Denora, Pennsylvania. 70 years old. Baseball player. Three-time All-Star who won a World Series or won two World Series titles with the Cincinnati Reds. Best known
Johnny
for
Bench.
His son.
Pete Rose.
Best known for his son.
Ken Griffey Sr.
Ken Griffey Sr. is correct.
You said Reds. That started going down.
Here we
I
go.
Said,
April
going down the list.
I almost said Marty Brenneman.
April. That's a pretty good one.
Come on,
that's a
pretty
I almost
good
did.
One.
Hey, I didn't. I almost said it. I didn't say it.
For those wondering, Thom Brenneman, the guy.
No, everyone knows. No, don't even.
I don't know if everyone connected the dots.
They connected
everyone,
the dots.
Everyone,
you can look it up.
There's a deep drive left for Castellanos. You get it.
April 10th, 1986, Birmingham, Alabama. 34 years old today. Baseball player, pitcher. American League Cy Young winner with the Indians in 2014 and 2017. Gave up 10 runs today.
Corey Kluber.
Corey Kluber is correct.
He didn't give up 10
yeah,
runs.
Yeah.
He got pulled in the
just
second.
Gonna, I was just going to let that go. Just go ahead.
He got pulled
go
in
to the
second.
Next birthday.
He didn't pitch the whole game.
I know.
Only gave up 3 runs. Earned.
Earned. I don't care. There's 10 runs scored in a game.
Okay.
He was the starting
All right.
pitcher.
All right. Okay.
That's not how it works.
That is exactly how it works, Folky.
That's
It's the way it works with Will baseball.
April 10th, 1993, New York.
New York, baby.
Newark.
That's what they call it.
I'm from New York.
Newark, New Jersey. Tight end. Selected 10th overall in the 2014 draft. You know what? Because you're making me mad, I'm going to slow down and go Folky pace from now on.
I'm going to go George Kittle.
Please, no.
OJ Howard. Selected 10th overall, 2014 NFL draft by the Detroit Lions.
TJ Hockenson
was a 2013 first-team All-ACC selection at the University of North Carolina. Plays for
Eric
the
Ebron.
Giants. It is Eric Ebron. Mm-hmm. I believe he plays for the Steelers now.
Yes.
He did not play for the Giants. He said something about the Giants.
Yeah, did he not play for the Giants? Or am I thinking of Evan Engram?
Evan Engram.
I'm
an
idiot.
He plays for the Giants.
Evans.
Yeah.
They're the same human being. April 10th, 1994. Malden, Massachusetts, 26 years old. Center. Basketball player, played one season at the University of Kentucky before going professional. He was drafted 6th overall by the New Orleans Pelicans in 2013.
Anthony Davis.
And then traded to the Philadelphia 76ers on draft day.
Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens Noel is correct. Let's see, what else is going on today? Who else
when
was
born? When I heard
traded
to the Sixers, my brain started screaming Markelle Fultz. And I was like, no.
He played at Washington.
Yeah. And not the Pelicans. And not a center.
I'm not going to do him because I don't think it would be easy enough to guess.
It wasn't even close.
It's,
no.
Do y'all know who Slim Jesus is, the rapper?
Yes.
Nope.
Slim Jesus' birthday. Shout out Slim Jesus.
Huh.
No, I've never heard of him.
No one else is born today. Let me go.
It's a deep day for birthdays.
No. This is Saturday. This is Saturday. So I have to go back. I just pulled up the wrong page. But this is today's. Today's is a lot better.
Oh, we're doing today's now.
Yes. Okay. April 9th, 1999. Georgia. Lithia Springs, Georgia. 22 years old. Viral rapper. Big hit called blank, 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 which became a subject of memes and viral social media challenge on TikTok, including the Yeehaw Challenge in 2019.
Lil Nas X.
It is Lil Nas X.
Blank, blank, blank.
Old Town Road.
Yeah, he can't say that out loud.
Why?
Because everybody
that
would have
given it away straight out the gate.
Oh, okay.
So he made it to where it required more intelligence. Therefore, I got it.
Instead of blank, just who's louder.
So blank, not because they were curse words. Blank, just
because he. Didn't
I didn't want to say
it.
The title of the song.
Gotcha.
He just let
gotcha.
You know it was a three-word title.
Gotcha.
April 9th, 1990, Los Angeles, California. 31 years old today. Movie actress, became known for playing the role Bella Swan in the Twilight.
Kristen Stewart
is Kristen Stewart. I didn't want to say Twilight first, but then it was the first hit.
That's me. Right?
Who got that one?
I want to say that was.
Oh,
a tie.
Is it? Am I supposed to make the decision? Tucker got it.
Boom.
Be nicer to the host.
Boom.
I knew that was happening.
April 9th, 1926, Chicago, Illinois. Passed away September 27th, 2017, 1991. Controversial figure, best known for wearing bathrobes, magazine publisher, and First Amendment activist. It is Hugh Hefner.
Did you say Chicago, Illinois?
I believe I said Chicago, Illinois.
Illinois.
Nope, you said Illinois.
You did say Illinois.
You put the ass in
you're
there.
You're continuing to be an ass to the host who just gave points away to the other person
Take
because you were
point.
Being an ass to the host. So I would continue
point.
To suggest being nice to
point
the
deducted.
Host of the game you're trying to win.
I apologize.
Point under review.
Too late.
Point deducted.
Folky, you know what to do with the scoreboard.
Well, no, you did say Illinois, so I'm going to leave this point there.
All right, give me all the points.
April 9th.
I ain't going to say nothing.
April 9th, 1954, Houston, Texas. 67 years old today? Okay, that breaks my brain. A movie actor. Actor who first received recognition for his role in the 1979 film Breaking Away, then went on to play memorable roles in Traffic, Frequency, The Rookie, The Day After Tomorrow, The Parent Trap, and Far From Heaven.
Ben Stiller.
Nope. Due to his obsession with James Bond, related in high school, he earned the nickname. Never mind. It's his name. I can't give it. It's such a dumb nickname. It's just his name. There's really no other way.
Richard Greer?
Dude was dating Meg Ryan for a while, or was married to her. DQ. Not disqualified.
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid is correct. Good pull. Did not realize he was 67 years old.
I was solely thinking out of Parent Trap. Who plays the dad?
That's actually not... You said Richard Greer, right?
Yep.
Many people get them confused. That's a very understandable thing. I was listening to a podcast about that the other day. Most missed common names. April 9th, 1989, Knoxville, Tennessee. 32 years old today. She came on the air today. Wrestler, professional wrestler who was recognized for competing in the...
Bianca Blair.
There you go.
Ah!
No, that's wrong. It's not Bianca Blair. It is not Bianca Blair. Sorry. That might be her wrestling name, but the name on here is not Bianca Blair. It is a B word, and it's not a bad word. Someone who maybe West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Yeah, it's some, Bianca Belair.
It's Bianca Belair. It's, I mean, that's a different name.
That's tough, Alex.
That's a different name. I'm sorry.
Who's to say I just wasn't mispronouncing it like Illinois?
I'm sorry, but Illinois and Illinois are the same place, just with one letter accidentally said. Bel Air and Blair are two different names.
They are different names.
And also, again, I say, be nice to the host, and maybe he'll give you a little bit more credit.
Be nice to the host.
Idiot.
Savages.
Football player.
Have some sportsmanship.
April 9th, 1992, Beach, Florida. 29 years old. Can't pronounce the first two words. No,
that's
sorry.
Okay. It's all right. It's okay.
New Seminar.
Nope. Don't. You're doing good. Keep
from
moving.
From Florida.
Florida.
Beach, Florida. 29 years old. Aries. April 9th. American football running back became a member of the NFL's 49ers in 2016. Set the franchise postseason record by rushing.
Raheem Mostert.
Correct. Yeah. Dude's a monster. Don't know. I don't know any of those baseball players. Sorry.
Monster.
Yeah, no, that was the pun. That
yeah,
was,
no, I get it.
Making sure.
I just wanted to claim it for my own.
That's a good one, Tucker.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, made me laugh.
Cool.
There's just no other birthdays.
That's fine.
That's normally how it goes. Yeah, no.
Give me a soccer player.
You checked, like,
I can give you a soccer player. There's a couple of them I recognized.
Maybe like, well, the show's pretty much over. We've really just...
The show is pretty much over.
Yeah.
Kind of ruined it when Alex was being mean.
Yeah, you really did just have a sour attitude the last 20 minutes of the
show. We were having such good vibes.
Everybody was kind of having a good time and getting along and, you know, whatnot.
April 9th, 1987, Toll House. Nope, that's not how you pronounce that.
The cookies.
France. Just
Toll
France.
House cookies.
Just France. 34-year-old soccer player, midfielder who joined Paris Saint-Germain in 2011, became the member of the French national team in 2010. He won a World Cup of France in 2018.
Mbappe.
No.
Blaise Matuidi.
Correct.
I was close.
You're on the right track.
Robbie Fowler. Big Robbie Fowler
French?
Guy.
I know who that is, but not really.
That was the next best name.
All right.
Good show, guys.
Vols up 4-2.
I apologize for my bad attitude.
No, it's okay.
No,
just
no,
come
no, no, no.
just come back
You're
correct.
Just fired.
Yeah. Don't apologize.
Don't worry about it.
No, don't. I
just
mean,
never come back.
No hard feelings.
Just kidding.
We'll see you again.
You'll be here tomorrow.
I won't see you guys.
He will
again.
Not be here on
you
Monday.
Won't be here. No.
That's
won't be
awkward.
Here Monday, but we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. We'll see you guys.
You're not fired. We love you guys.
Yeah.